this evening. Welcome to visitors. We're glad that you're here as well tonight for this special service. We've enjoyed a number of good evenings together thus far, the Word of God being preached, and we look forward to what God has in store for tonight. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2 for a scripture reading, and following the scripture reading then, we do have an offering scheduled this evening for Brother Daniel. Personally, for my scripture reading, I've been reading through the book of Revelation, and the seven churches are an interesting read. I think we can find ourselves in most of these churches in one way or another. I was reading a commentary about these churches, and it says that there's seven similar things about the seven churches that we see here. And those seven things are, each letter is to a particular church. There's some sort of description in each of these letters about who Jesus is, and each one of them is different. We read about the condition of the church, and we read about a verdict from Jesus regarding the condition of that church. We see a command to each church and how they should respond to that verdict. There's a general exhortation to hear what is said, and then there's a promise at the end. And Brother Daniel's been sharing about promises this week, and there's a promise at the end of each church that is recorded, that if we heed what is said in the letter, there will be a blessing. But I'd like to read chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, about the church at Ephesus. Revelation 2, verse 1, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Verse 7 is the end, is the promise I want us to consider. "To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." And the paradise of God here, the original translation was garden, or the idea of a garden and being in fellowship. But to us, and I think the interpretation today that we should consider is this paradise of God. Yes, it's like being in a garden, but paradise of God is the presence of God with us today here on this earth. We have the promise, if we are faithful, he will be here with us now. But this promise is one of eternal significance. If we overcome, if we are faithful in following Christ, if he is our true first love, then we have the opportunity to be in the presence, to be in the paradise of God for all eternity. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for bringing each individual here. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises that we find in it. As we read tonight of the promise of being faithful, that we will be found in the paradise of God, that we can find the presence of God with us in this life, but ultimately in eternity that we can spend with you. We pray your Spirit would be among us this evening, that we would worship in spirit and in truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If the ushers want to come forward, and while they're coming forward, just a reminder for Friday evening for the Harvest Supper. Appetizers starts at 6 o'clock, and then the supper will begin at 6:30. So remember that. And let's have a prayer for this offering tonight for Brother Daniel, and we can share a love gift with him and bless him for his time this week. Brother Bob, would you ask a blessing on the offering for Brother Daniel?
Blessing us with material things that we can share with one another. Lord, we want to share with Brother Daniel this evening how you have blessed us and the blessing that he has given to us this week as well. May you bless the gift and the gift to your glory.
All right, we'll ask Brother Daniel to come. We'll have a word of prayer with him, and then we'll let him share. Looks like he has an exciting lesson again for the children here this evening, and I know it's been anticipation to come each evening to see what you have to share for the children as well as for the adults. And so let's pray together. God, we come to you again here. We just ask you to give our brother strength this evening. Give him the words to speak, Lord, that we would receive, that we would hear what you have for us. Lord, it's not Daniel speaking, it is you speaking through him, and I pray that we would receive and let it soak into our hearts and grow and flourish and bring forth fruit. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Modern technology. I pressed a button here, and you started talking, and it started typing all of you were saying on my message. So it'll be an interesting message here when we get to it. Wow. Huh. All right, 5 to 8. You know what you do, right? And then 8 to 12, you know where you go. This is going to be exciting this evening. This evening, you also get to, if you can't get it out, one of the young folks in the front is going to help you. You could pick whichever one you want. Let's get the candy jar, too. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's all stand and sing that song, Jesus Love Me, This I Know. All right, folks in the back, help us start the song.
Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him below. They are weak but strong. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
All right, you may be seated. And this evening, we're going to recap from Sunday. So if you were here Sunday, you get a jump start on the others. So we're going to begin on the older side here with the questions a little bit harder than this side. Maybe we go from, let's see, Sunday evening. All right. Sunday morning and Sunday evening, I had two messages with two promises. What was the two promises? Okay. Promise number one?
Healing.
Healing on Sunday morning. And what was in the evening? God will be with you. All right, now you get up, and you pick one of the young folks in the second row to help you with the second question. Any one of them. You could pick any one of them to help you with the second. Yeah, with this row right here. And when they get up, they'll tell you what was the message on Sunday evening. Yeah, they'll tell you. But you pick the right one. You pick the wrong one, you lose. You pick the right one, you both win. Which one you want to pick? One in the back here, here and there, these two rows. You get the young, upcoming generation. Oh, they were smart. They went all the way on that side. Yeah, the second row and the third row. And you picked the wrong one. Anyone want to try? What was the message on Sunday evening? Mm-hmm. It's the Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. That was in the play. That was good. That's good. No, you already go on, man. Sorry, you picked the wrong person, too. It was the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in. Very good. So, the promise was the blessing of God. Remember that now? God is going to bless us. Sorry. Man, nobody got it on this side, so we got to keep all the gifts. You got to pick any one of these gifts, or you could put your hand down and take as much as you can without one dropping. So for you, what did Jesus say? Remember we talked the story of the woman that had the problem with the blood? And what did Jesus say when the woman touched his garment? Who touched me? All right, good. Which one you want to take? Pick anyone. Oh, you're pretty smart. You don't take any chances with the bags, huh? Yes, it had nothing in the envelopes. Keep coming. Whoo, you got it. All right. All right, since I'm here, I'm going to ask the second question. The lady that was sick, how many years was she sick for? 12 years. Come on up. Make a pick. You take the big bag. Open it. Let's see what you got in there. You got to let us see what you got. What you got? Candy. Woo, a big bag. I'm sorry for your mom tonight. It's like grandkids. You get them candy and you send them home. I love that. All right. On this side, we talk about the blessings on Sunday night. Finish this verse. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of. Go ahead, keep going. Shall I give it to her? We already know. I'll let you go. Of heaven, but we'll let it slide. My wife don't let it slide like that. But she's all the way back there. You get to pick something, girl. Heaven, God. What you got in there? Only tissues. Sorry. You could keep it with you, but sorry. But you know, you still get a chance. In the cookie jar. In the candy jar. Don't forget, you can't let any drop now. Whoa, she took one, boy. She was safe. Better safe than sorry. Sorry, this one only had some. Yeah, just tissues in there. Okay. Let's come back over here. Okay. How old was the little girl that was sick? Let's see you here now. 12 years old. All right, come on up. You don't know what is in the bag by faith, or you can see what's in the jar by sight. Let's see what you got. Did you get anything? What do you got? Whoa, you got candy and money too? Look at a couple of dollars. Oh, you good, girl. All right, look like you got to get the grand prize. All right, let's see if you remembered now. The second one was, blessed are those who mourn for. You went already. Let's get somebody else. Okay. Blessed are those who mourn. Think of when you're mourning, you need some, okay? You need some tissues? That's good. I like that. No, that's good. That's good. Blessed are those who mourn. You know what? Pick someone over there to finish the verse for you. Pick someone from the second row, the third row, all the way over in the second row. They didn't get away. Anyone. Just pick. That person? Which one? You. Yeah, you? Blessed are those who mourn for. You picked the right one, so you get to choose something. Anything? Dump it out, man. Let's see what you got. Oh, more candy. Money, too? And a dollar. And a dream. A lot of dollars. Oh, man, a lot of dollars. Oh, it's getting bigger and better here. All right, for the little ones again. Remember the man whose daughter was sick? His name was, what was his name again? Did you get a pick already? No? Okay, go ahead. Jarmius? That's close. Come on. Jarius. So you could pick whatever you want. Yeah, she's thinking of the, All right, dump it all. Let's see what you got there. Candy, and is there anything else in the bag? Ooh, lots of dollars. Whoa, man. $4. You guys only have one more bag and a candy. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For hunger and thirst. Who wants to go for this one? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for that's good. That's really good. But you got to choose someone here to help you out with this one. And they all, and they shall be filled. All right. Hunger and thirst filled. Remember that? All right. And you got candy and money, lots of dollars. All right, so all we got now is candy left. All right, let's come back here now. Oh, no, here. Could you remember in what book of the Bible the story of the lady with the problem who was healed? What book of the Bible? Let's get someone who didn't try before. What book of the Bible? Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? John, that was close. Huh? You know what? Get someone back here to help you. Get someone here back to help you. What book was it come from? Pick somebody in the back to help you out. Matthew. Was it Matthew? Yes, okay. So you get to grab as much as you can. Man, nobody's taking a big grab anymore, huh? You learn a lesson. We're going to finish up here with the last one. Blessed are the meek. Not the weak, the meek. Blessed are the meek for. Did you go already? No, you went already. We're going to get someone who didn't go yet. Blessed are the meek. The nice thing about it, if you don't know it, somebody will help you over there. So you stand a chance. Yes. Blessed are the meek, for they, but pick someone over there to help you out. Make sure they learn, they got something out of it. Blessed are the meek, for they, yeah, you. They shall inherit the earth. So you go grab as much as you can. Very good. Okay. The theme of the week was promises, the promises of God. And remember we talked the first day about the promise of God for healing? And then we talked about the Beatitudes, blessed are those that mourn. And then we spoke about, what was the next one? Being the salt and, yeah. The salt and the light of the earth. That's good. So you're going to get a little try something in a little while. And we talk about you being light and you being salt. And remember, salt is good for some a couple of things. One, to purify, for flavor. Yeah, that's good. There's the next one. Purify, pure. Remember when things are decaying or rotting, what does it do? Salt.
It makes it last.
You make it last, preserve it. And we talk about you young people are the one who's going to preserve this world. God wants you. He has chosen every one of you to bring flavor, to be a preservative, and to live a pure life. You remember what we spoke about last night? Anybody remember last night? We'll jump all the way to last night. What was the theme of the message? What was the promise last night? Jesus is coming again, whether you believe it or not. And when Jesus is coming, what do we need to do? To be ready for when he comes. I want to leave you with this. God loves you so much. He loves you more than your parents could ever love you. He loves you more than anyone could ever love you. And he has chosen you to be his hand and feet in this world. You know, we talk about all the trials you'll go through as we look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego yesterday. Well, that was 2 days ago. And the tribulations and all the things will come to life, but to know that God is able to help you through this world. Let's stand. And I want you to come and pray for these young folks here. Just come on up here. You get to pray for them. Nice and loud so we could all hear and God could hear too. Make sure God could hear. Okay. Amen. Oh, wait. You got to get something from the cookie jar. All right, kids, you can go back. Let's see if you get a big handful without dropping any. Man, you're smart. You just take a little bit, huh? All right. Well, it was fun having you young ones come up and remember all the days and nights we've been here. The 40 days and 40 nights. Oh, no, it wasn't that long, right? All right. Well, we got a story to tell, right? And something happened. You know what? Let's just go way back. Let's recap a little bit. Men and women were taken from Africa. They were brought to the Caribbean. My dad, great-great-grandparents would have come from Africa. My mom, great-great-grandparents would have come from India. They weren't married. They committed adultery. I came into the world. And the theme of that was, your sin shall find you out. Whatever is in darkness came to light. She thought she was in darkness, and no one would see. But God brought it to light. And then I took on the weight, the responsibility that I was the wrong one. For some reason, I didn't know why I came into this world. The one that was supposed to protect me was the one that tried to get rid of me. And then I became an angry young man. And I tried to allow alcohol and smoking and drugs to fill that gap, that hold that was inside of me. And no matter what I tried to do, even when I got married and had 3 children, it still was a hole needed to be filled. Remember, we said God is love, and we are created in the image of God. So if God is love and we are created in his image, there is a love somewhere there that needs to come together. Later on, I found me a nice young lady, and I didn't follow the rules that I had, even though I wasn't a Christian, and we got involved. She got pregnant. Months later on, the child was born, and the child died. Devastation. I don't know if you've ever been in that place where the one thing you trust in, well, now we have a child. I have a wife. I have a good job. Everything is going to be right. And then God just pulled the rug, it seems like, from under my feet. Remember the story of Abraham? Abraham had it looking like it was really, everything was going great. And then his wife came and complained that they wanted a child. Abraham listened to his wife, didn't wait on God, and they had a child. But then later on, God gave him the son that he really wanted, Isaac, the promised one. And then he probably started really depending on Isaac and loving Isaac. And then God came and said, look, Abraham, you see that son you have? I want you to sacrifice him to me. Could you imagine the one son, the one who God says, Abraham, you know, when you would look outside in the night, in the sky, see all the stars? Your generation will be more than all the stars in the sky. You know the seashore, all the sand you see on the sea. Your generation. And Abraham had to come to a place to sacrifice his one son. I don't know if you've been to that place where God called you to do something that was difficult. And you had to give it up. I didn't think I'd do anything wrong. But our life continued on. And you remember that I get involved in the drugs. And I had one daughter and two and three. And then we moved to the U.S. And I thought, this is the life. Drinking, drugging, parties, women. Gotta fill that hole. Gotta fill that void. See, religion can't fill it for you. Remember last night we talked about religion? Remember the five wise and the five foolish? Help me. Virgins. They look like virgin, they talk like virgin, they were going to a wedding, they look like Christian, they talk like Christian, they sang like Christians, but they were not ready. They even had the lamps, and the lamps was lit. You have your Bible, and your Bible is in your hand. You have the songbook. And then they all got tired, and they all slept. And then there was a long, loud song, "The Bridegroom is Here." And they all woke up. But five were wise and five were foolish. Five depended on the one sitting next to them for salvation. You know, many times we come to church and we want to be around certain people because they have the anointing. They didn't get the anointing from someone else. They get it from God. How do you get it? The question last night was, if you would die tomorrow, where would you spend eternity? If you would die tonight, or if Jesus Christ will come right now here, will you go with him? Or would you be left behind? Which one would it be? I didn't know the story, the entire story. So I went through life looking for the things that satisfied. Until one night, the question was asked of me, where would I spend eternity? That night I gave my life to Christ. And it wasn't the end. It was the beginning of a walk. See, many times we think once you pray to receive Christ, everything is good. No, it's the beginning of the walk. It's not the end. Now the walk starts. Now the temptation starts. Because you see, in my story, right after I got saved, last night I stopped where something happened. That night I gave my life to Christ. And the journey began. The next couple of weeks, things were going okay. And then I got a call on the two-way radio. Well, as a matter of fact, I lost the job I had. I was fired because the people who were there longer stayed, and the ones who just came were let go, and I was one. So now I didn't have a job, so I started driving taxi in New York City. And then I got a call one night from Alan Roth, and he says, come to my house, something happened at your house. And I decided, why go to his house? So went to my house, and there was a fire. My children were on the second floor, and the fire was on the first floor. My whole family was on the second floor. But when I got there, all I could see is the ambulance leaving with everyone in the ambulance. Later on, I found out that there was a young man downstairs that was looking for something under the bed with a candle. And then the fire started. He couldn't get it out, and he ran out of the house and didn't notify them. And there's only one way out. Down the steps where the fire is. I was told the firemen came and they did what they should not do. Took their masks off, put it on the children. By then, my little daughter, Renee, had climbed down the telephone wire, and she got down to the bottom. She would have been about, what, five, six, four. My little son was about 1 year old, and they kind of, my brother-in-law got out, and he got down, and they kind of dropped him for my brother-in-law to catch, my little son, and he missed, and he broke his leg, and had to put a cast on both feet. They couldn't breathe. Their heads were out the window, and they didn't know how to get out. And the firemen came, and God saved their lives. And then the Red Cross came and said, hey, we want to help. But then something happened. Still got two more nights, right? Well, one more tomorrow. Oh, I got to finish the whole story tomorrow. If they would allow me to, I'd probably tell you a little bit on Friday, but we'll never know you anyway. All right, let's get to the word. Tonight I'm excited. Tonight the promise is the promise of salvation. Salvation. You know, if we have done all these meetings and all you came and the kids had fun and you enjoyed my story and you didn't get saved, we missed it. It was all in vain. If at the end of this meeting you are not saved or you are not encouraged to go out and preach the gospel, share the gospel that someone could get saved, we've missed it. If you have your Bible with you, open it to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. And today we're going to start from the back. We're going to start this way and we'll come this way. Not much verses, just 1 to 10. So when you get it, say amen. Oh, nobody got it yet, huh? When you get it, say amen. Oh, you're singing Pentecostal now. Go ahead. Verse 1.
He entered Jericho and was passing through. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief tax collector, and he was rich.
And people say amen. Amen. I want to look at three things here. Number one, the searching sinner, verses 2 to 4. Number two, the seeking savior. And number three, the spectacular salvation. The searching sinner, verse 2 to 4. In verse 2, we see Zacchaeus was a man of prominence. His name in Hebrew means pure and righteous. But he was not as though as being anywhere close to righteous because of the job he had. No, he wasn't just the tax collector. He wasn't just a sinner. He was the chief of sinners. He was the chief tax collector. I mean, he was taken from the Jews, and he was even taken from the other tax collectors. He was what we call today maybe a big drug dealer or maybe someone embezzling millions of dollars, someone being despised. In other words, a sinner. He worked for the Roman government and indicated to others that he was with the Romans. Zacchaeus, or Zac, was more than a tax agent. He was a chief collector. He would have been thought of a high-level drug dealer in today. In fact, in the minds of the tax collector, we'd be sort of like a murderer or an adulterer, a robber. I mean, someone we despise. The Bible said we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We thank God for the Savior. In verse 3, we notice that while Zach is very wealthy and successful by the world standard, yet he knew something was missing. Remember I told you, in my life, something was missing. And the only thing that could have filled that void wasn't religion, wasn't money, wasn't women, wasn't drugs, wasn't alcohol, wasn't friends. Only a Savior could have filled what I needed. Notice it doesn't say that Zach just wanted to see Jesus. No, he wanted to see who Jesus was. He had heard about his Jesus, and he knew he was lacking. There was something missing in his life. He had all the money, all the fame, all the fortune. He could have bought almost anything he wanted, except salvation. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see who he was. He wanted to figure out what it was that made Jesus different than everyone else. What made him different? He had two problems on that day. The first problem, that he was a short man. See, sometimes we think we can't meet the standards. Sometimes we feel that we have to get saved first, and when we get saved, somehow we would fit the standard God called us to. But Jesus said, come as you are. Come. All you are tired and heavy laden, come. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Come. Come unto me. Could you imagine seeing him bouncing up and down trying to see? And the people taller than him in the front, you know, I get an advantage sometimes. Being taller, people that are shorter ones got to kind of, but then when something is low down, I could hardly get to it. Shorter ones is easier to get to. His second problem, his spiritual problem. His sin was keeping him from Jesus. Isaiah 59:2 says, our iniquities has separated us from God. Not only was Zach short in stature, but he was short in his spiritual life. He had a great need. Verse 4, so he ran ahead and climbed. He didn't let it stop him. See, sometimes we're looking for obstacles and things in the way. The reason why, the reason why I don't want to become a Christian is because Christians are just deceitful. They yap about you and they talk bad about you and, oh, Christians are so. See, it didn't stop him because he was short. He ran ahead. Zach was short, but he wasn't slow. He ran ahead of the crowd looking for a way that he could see Jesus. Could you imagine seeing this guy, this little short guy, older man running? And then he started climbing a tree. He wasn't going to let anything stop him. See, sometimes we want to come up and ask for prayer, but because what people might say or what they might think about me. So we sit in the chair, we stand there with our heads bowed, and God is saying, step out. Climb on up. You want to see me? Come on. Push yourself through the crowd like the woman who had that issue of blood, how she crawled and pushed herself between the men. Just amusing seeing him climb a sycamore tree. And they often grew by the side of the road and had branches that grew horizontal. He didn't allow anything, not the crowd or his condition, to stand between him and desire to see the Lord Jesus. What is preventing you tonight to give in everything to him? What is holding you back tonight from allowing him to get into every room of your heart tonight? What are you holding back? Why are you afraid? He didn't allow anything. Do you care enough about the condition of your soul to pay whatever price is necessary to be right with God? Are you willing to turn from that little pet sin, that one that you just kind of keep? God, you could take the rest, but this one, this little one, Lord, just leave me with this little one, please. Are you ready to lift your head up from the depression and the fear of people? Are you ready to let the bitterness and unforgiveness? Are you willing to accept his love for you today? Are you ready to run to him? Number two, the Savior. We talk about Zacchaeus. Now we're going to talk about the Savior. We see Zacchaeus may have been searching for Jesus, but Jesus was also seeking him out. Because when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house." See, he's always looking for us. He's always after us. You think he doesn't care? I mean, if he cared about me that much, why he allow? You could fill in the blank. Jesus took note of Zacchaeus, although we are not told why he stopped and looked up. He didn't say, "Hey man, come down here." He called him by name. Remember we said he knows you by name. And he is calling you tonight to a closer relationship with him. He wants a close relationship with you. It almost looked like the last days. Last week, I was a little bit concerned. We had the looting and the fire and the race problems going on. Then we had a hurricane coming in and fire down in California, Texas down there, Oregon. All happening at one time. But I'm saying, "Lord Jesus, come. I'm ready." Are you ready? Are you ready? See, we could play Christian. See, Zacchaeus wasn't playing anything anymore. He wanted the real deal. And it meant that he had to step out, and he had to run, and he had to climb, and he had to let people laugh at him and mock him and thought foolish of him. But the Savior was more important than what people said. This is how it always happened. Jesus made the first move by coming to the dead sinner and offering life through himself. "Get out of the tree, Zach, right now." There always seems to be a sense of urgency about following Christ. "Come, follow me. Leave your nets. Come, follow me. Get up and walk. Come, follow me." 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 says, "For he says, in the acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Can you imagine what must have been going through the minds of those who were walking with Jesus that day? How did Jesus know his name? Why did Jesus stop under the particular tree? Why did he call out on Zacchaeus? Why did he say, "He's going to a sinner's house to eat"? Why? Why did he love me so much? Why did he die for me on Calvary? Why? And then Jesus gave the second part of the command, "I must stay at your house today." Why did Jesus express going now? Why did he say, "I must"? Why are you saying, "I must come into your heart tonight"? And then the last, the spectacular salvation. Zacchaeus didn't waste any time getting out of the tree. In verse 6, "So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly." Jesus said, "Jump." And Zacchaeus was ready to jump. Are you ready for whatever he has for you? Sometimes the road don't always look that smooth and paved. There are some hills, there are some valleys, there are some mountains, there are some rocky roads ahead. But the promise is, Jesus said, "I will never leave you, nor I will be with you till the end of the world. Now, in contrast to Zach's joy, we see in verse 7 that the entire crowd began to mutter. They started to, what's wrong with this man? Doesn't he know? Doesn't Jesus know who that man is? Didn't Jesus know who I am? A drug dealer, an adulterer, an alcoholic. I wouldn't say it now, but a little bit of everything. And yet he came to my house, in my heart. While he was still dirty and grimy. And when I allowed him to come in, he started taking all the things out. This doesn't belong here. This can't live with me. I can't live in there like that. Notice that it wasn't just some of the crowd. The text said that it was all the people. It may even have included the disciples. Even the Christians were muttering, do you know who he is? When I first came to this country, I went to some cousins of mine. And I rang the doorbell, and they kind of looked through the window. I didn't see them well, but they saw I was standing outside, and they never answered because they knew of my reputation. My reputation had preceded me, and it wasn't a good one. But today, God has changed my life. I'm not perfect, but I'm not the man I used to be, that if I'll ring that same doorbell, the door will be wide open because of what Jesus Christ done in me. He makes a difference in us. I remember some years ago, I was on Atlantic Avenue in New York City. It's close to the church in New York City. And I was driving down the street, and this lady came looking at me, and I was at a light, and she started smiling and waving. And I knew her to be a prostitute. And I thought to myself, why is she calling? Why is she looking at me? And then God said to me, that's somebody's daughter. That's somebody's sister. That is my child. And I want you to love her like I love her. It was a rebuke. Because then I remember the man I once was. Old wretched sinner. And how God forgave me of my sins and washed me clean. And I had to look at her differently. Kind of tells the story. Some of you know the pastor or heard of the pastor from Brooklyn Tabernacle. What's his name? Jim Cimbala. Cimbala. He shares a story one time I want to share with you before we close. He said one Easter he was there and he had preached a powerful message and people were just coming up and coming to the altar. And he loosened his tie and he sat on the step of the stage. And people were just coming and all the people were coming with them to pray for them. And in the corner of his eye he saw this man coming tattered looking. And he was coming straight to him. And he kind of looked down a little bit, and the guy walked right up to him. And he said, excuse me. And Jim said, he smelled. I mean, it was, he said, I couldn't even breathe. I mean, the guy didn't bathe for days or weeks. He said, and I just kind of looked down a little bit. And then when he came and he stood in front of me and he said, I want to talk to you. Jim says, wait. And he took out $5. And he's about to give it to him. And the guy says, I don't want your money. See, I want that Jesus you were talking about. And Jim said he just broke down and started weeping. And the guy started weeping. And he held on to the guy, and the guy held on to him. And all of a sudden, the smell just changed. And it was a sweet, sweet smelling odor that came from the guy. Because now he sees this young man like Jesus seeing him. And he says he wept, and this guy wept, and they just cried and cried, and he just held on to him. He said he gave him his number, and he told him to come back tomorrow. And they started having Bible studies together. And the guy started cleaning up and give him a shower and change his clothes. And that man became one of the pastors of the church later on in one of the small churches. That's the God we serve. I don't care what you have done in life. Paul says, I am the chief of sinners. I mean, Paul was there when they stoned Stephen. He washed the clothes. He was persecuting Christians. And yet God loved him so much that he wrote most of the New Testament. Are you ready tonight to give everything to him? I'm not talking about a part of you. He wants it all. He wants everything. And I'm telling you, he gives you more than you could ever ask for. See, I always like to travel. I used to love traveling. And then I came to the U.S., and then for 20 years, I couldn't travel. It's a whole story by itself. Wish I had the time to tell you. But God knew that I loved to travel. When I first came to this country, what I wanted to do was to get involved in orthopedics, because that's the job I did in the islands. Made artificial limbs and worked in the operating theater, put in casts on, and working a lot in the medical field. And when I came to this country, I wanted to do more of it. And they told me it's a 5-year course that I get my doctorate, and I can make lots of money. Today I look back, and I thank God that I didn't go in that direction. I mean, I told my wife I'd be driving my second or third Mercedes-Benz and have my fourth or fifth wife. I just love what I do. And God has raised me up in the last 8-9 years to travel all over the world. Europe, the Caribbean, South America, North America, Africa. But I had to go through the time of testing. But you have to give it up. You have to lay down your life. You say, how do you do that? You got to come to the place where you say, Lord, I want to give you everything. All I have is yours. Whatever you want to do with me, Lord, do it. Trust me, no one can do it like him. Song leader, I want you to come. I wanted to sing that song. I could go on and on and on and talk and talk, but I want you just to close your eyes and bow your head. And if you want all of him today, if you need him like Zacchaeus needed him, it means that you may have to run, you may have to step out, you may have to climb, you may have to expose everything for him. And I want to give you an invitation to come, and we're going to pray a prayer of faith that you could just release everything to him and allow him to fill you with everything he has. With all head bowed and all eyes closed, I want us to sing this song. I think the song leader probably knows it like hard by now. If he doesn't, I'll kind of. But I want God to speak to your heart right now. It's not about me. It's not about me. Don't even think about me anymore. Are you living in victory? Are you living in the fullness? If Jesus Christ will come right now, are you going to go with him or are you going to be left behind? If God forbids and you would die tonight, where would you spend eternity?
Lord, I come confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart.
Tonight you're here.
Lord, I need you.
And you need him tonight again. My prayer is that his meetings were not over. And you will be stuck in your old ways. I want you to come and we'll pray. You need to step out this morning, this night, and come forward. Zacchaeus didn't care what the crowd thought about him. but he had a need. He had a need. Do you have a need tonight? What is that need you have that you're afraid or ashamed to allow to die here tonight? Anyone else want to come?
Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness.
God is waiting.
You're my one defense, my righteousness, oh God.
Let's sing that again. Lord, I need. There's still more here that has a need. And God is urging you right now to come. Put the pride down.
My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Let's sing one verse of Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound
that saved
a wretch.
See, it's not about looking at who is up here. It's looking in here. And see if God is calling me. And if he is, come. Not for my sake, for yours.
But now I see. 'Twas grace that brought my heart to thee. Grace my fear relieved. How great.
Let us pray. Let's all stand as we pray. Those of us at the altar can remain there. Just lift your hand up. Because you're asking him tonight, Lord, fill me. Lord, lead me. Lord, direct me. Father, in the name of Jesus, as our hands are lifted up, our hearts are lifted up to you. And I pray the anointing of the Holy Spirit from the top of our head to the sole of our feet. Lead us, guide us, rebuke the enemy from us. Lord, you say, weeping endure for the night, but joy come in the morning. Lord, you say, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and we receive those promises. God, thank you for your Holy Spirit. God, as believers, we come, Lord God, just surrendering everything to you and asking, God, that you would just fill us and you would lead us, you would protect us, and, Lord, you would use us to be the salt and the light of this earth. Father, tonight we give you praise. I ask a blessing upon each and every one that is here tonight. Lord, you know every need that is here tonight. Lord, you know every need that is here, Lord God. Meet that need in the name of Jesus. Touch that heart. Touch that wounded heart, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, there may be someone here tonight with a physical issue, Lord God. You are the God that heals all our disease. You're a God that meets every need. You're Jehovah Jireh. You're a provider. Father, we thank you. Bless each and everyone as we go out of this place. May we shine as the sun. May we shine, O God, and may we be that salt in the earth. And like Zacchaeus, O God, may we continue to hunger and thirst for you, to run after you, and lead us. Be with us, Lord, as we go. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And God, people say amen. 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 You may be seated. All right, tonight, I didn't know if you told you we have a second service. Just kidding. It's joking. Anyway, I just want to thank you so much for those who have come and have prayed. You have been a real blessing. Hope to see you tomorrow night. And I believe we are dismissed. Am I right? You are dismissed. God be with you. And tomorrow night, we got something happen, right? All right.